The final episode of MuggleCast for 2014 is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/MuggleCast. Welcome to MuggleCast episode 275. Nice, not exactly round number, but you know, it falls on one of those quarter sections. You know,
it's
what
a quarter quell.
It's a quarter quell, oh. Right. good. We already got the show title. The episode's finished.
Oh, great.
That's the only reason we ever recorded for so long. We were always just looking for a show title.
Goodbye, everybody.
And Eric, for the first time ever, got it in the first, 10 seconds of recording?
Yeah. Something like that.
Pretty good record. Mm. So we are here for a nice little holiday episode, I guess you could say, even though Christmas and Hanukkah and most of the holidays have passed through December. You know, we've reached another year, end of the year, and we're going to do a lot of things today. We're going to look back at the biggest Harry Potter stories of the year. We're going to we're going to talk about the new Pottermore material. We've got some Fantastic Beasts news to talk about. I have a big question for Micah. We're going to predict 2015, and then we have a big, big announcement. Maybe not that big, but big. I always hate raising people's expectations because they will think we're about to announce something like J.K. Rowling is coming on the podcast or something like this. You know, I'm actually glad that J.K. Rowling's never been on the podcast. Do you know why?
Because how would we ever top it?
Well, I think it's because you can just keep talking about the fact that she's never been on the podcast.
Yes, that's fun to
more,
do.
More airtime.
But I like trolling her on Twitter. I like keeping myself distant from her so I can troll her on Twitter. Like recently I @replied her. All I said was, please come to Brazil. It got like 100 favorites. I was shocked.
That's hilarious.
I was like, what? People really liked that tweet.
You should just keep doing that each week. Pick a different country and see how it goes.
Yeah. But Brazil is like the one that people always ask celebrities to go to. That's so funny.
I sent her a tweet that says, congrats on 400 tweets. That got 19 favorites. I mean, there's a demand for this, I think. So
people like... I think they expect you to follow in Micah's shoes, too, with trolling her the way that he does on Twitter all the time.
I mean, Micah trolls her by just protesting her.
Yeah, yeah. It's really negative. It's really like, not quite
negative.
The positive stuff.
Well, I think J.K. Rowling said something on Twitter a couple weeks ago that should seal the deal for Micah following her on Twitter. You don't follow her yet, right?
I do not.
Okay, if this tweet doesn't do it, I don't know what will. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. First, let's talk about the biggest stories of the year. Mm-hmm. We're just going to jump around. I just wanted to kind of recap the 2014 for Harry Potter fans. First of all, Diagon Alley opened. I know Micah, Eric, and I have all been there at this point. Really wonderful, right? They did such a great job.
I'm sure it's just amazing and the best thing ever. And if you can't go, then your life is over.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry you haven't
Whatever,
been
I don't want Butterbeer anyway.
Well, you can go to the studio tour for that. You got Butterbeer there, didn't
That's
you?
That's true. Yeah, I did.
It's not the same, though. It's just not the same.
No, but Diagon Alley is really impressive detail-wise. It's more detailed. There's more to see than... in the Hogsmeade part of the park, and that is what makes it cool.
And can you go into the shops?
You can. Yeah, in fact, most of them. More of them, because like Hogsmeade had it where it was like a couple shops, but then most of them were storefronts, which were cool. I think Diagon Alley, they strive to actually make more shops, like so that you could enter them, like real shops.
Can you buy stuff?
That's pretty much all you can do.
Or you can wait 4 hours online to go.
Or you can wait 4 hours for Gringotts. But Gringotts was pretty cool.
You know, here's kind of a good year in review statement about Diagon Alley. There was concerns about how busy it would be there after the park opened. And now I think the lines are actually really manageable. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any complaints about long lines, even for the Hogwarts Express. That thing, I remember going through it for the first time and seeing the queue. The line... it wasn't filled when I walked through it, but they had built so much queue in anticipation, and it just doesn't fill up. And I don't say that in a bad way, that like they're not getting as many people that they wanted. I just think that the train trains, so there's two of them, run really efficiently. So I think they did a great job, and I'm glad to see that the lines aren't as crazy. So if you are thinking of going, I'd say go whenever. Maybe not summer, but go whenever. Like, there's not a huge rush right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, this time of year, I think we'd be pretty busy down there with everybody on vacation from school.
Probably, yeah.
It's actually, people take off work. The month of November, I heard, was like when the locals go. Because it's just quieting down. It's like a dull period where the rest of the nation is cold, but nobody's quite yet hit vacation yet.
And it's like right after Universal's Halloween stuff.
Yeah. So that's really when I think the locals go. But yeah, you could go down there now and find probably some, you know, not very long wait times.
Maybe.
In other Wizarding World news, the Wizarding World Japan opened up over the summer. Very similar to Hogsmeade. There's no Diagon Alley, but they have the Black Lake there, kind of sitting near Hogwarts, which I think people really liked. And apparently, the Hollywood one is going to have some special features like this as well that are unique to the Hollywood land. So
they should, though. I think that provides interest from people to go to those parks because, you know, let's say you're on the East Coast of the U.S. and you've been to Orlando and you know what that's all about. I would think if you're a fan and maybe you're taking a trip out to California, you'd want to explore. And not to say that Potter fans wouldn't go anyway, but you know, to have that added interest to know that there's something different about the park, because if they're all the same, you know, what makes them unique?
Exactly. Like, it's not an IKEA or like a Walmart, to speak in your terms. like, you know, it's the, you're supposed to go for an unique experience.
Well, what makes it unique to me as somebody who lives in the LA area is that I can actually drive there, get drunk in the Hawk's Head, then take a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that anywhere else. Some sadder news happened this year. David Legano, who played Fenrir Greyback, he died while hiking in Death Valley over the summer. That was a really sad story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rest of the year was lighter news. Well, except for the Ron and Hermione drama.
did that rate
which
this
I
year
was
in
personally very affected by.
J.K. Rowling wrote a story about the trio at the World Cup. That was one of the bigger things on Pottermore this year, I think.
Yeah.
That was, like, legitimately lived up to the excitement because we got some tidbits about where they all are now, so that was really cool.
It was another one of those news stories, right, that J.K. Rowling wrote this year?
Right, a news story. And that, I mean, that could kind of pass as a new story, but this 12 Days of Christmas thing that they did earlier this month, and where a lot of media outlets were saying, you know, J.K. Rowling to write 12 new Harry Potter stories. Oh, my God. It was just – it was ridiculous.
It was funny. I forget. Somebody asked me about that. I think it might have been at work. It just came up about how, you know, apparently she was writing all of these new stories that were going to be released. And I actually had to explain to the person that they weren't new. They are new, but – They're not
stories.
They're supplemental content.
Well, yeah. And the other right, but like some of them were just potions. They weren't even it wasn't even new J.K. Rowling writing.
Were they this time? Because yeah. I saw a lot of stories now this time. There's going to be like potions. Like one day you're just going to get to do an extra potion on Pottermore.
Well, it was a mess. Even the Pottermore Insider blog released a post saying, yeah, no, remember, it's not new J.K. Rowling Harry Potter stories. I was like...
Yeah, the media, it's funny because like how many years are we in now? I mean, if you count like from 97, we're like 17 years into the Harry Potter books and... being a thing and the news still can't handle itself or they don't know exactly how to not blow this out of proportion.
Worse, isn't it?
It's
because it's
worse.
All clickbait now.
This year it really got bad. But I'm hoping that people kinda now they're understanding that they're being played, so they'll stop clicking on them and then people will stop writing that nonsense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Fantastic Beasts. It was a big year for Fantastic Beasts. We found out that it will be a trilogy. That was a big deal. And then later in the year, we found out the release dates, 2016, November 2016, November 2018, and November 2020.
Mm.
So
until the last one split into two.
Due to content.
Well, yeah. I mean, remember, they said it will be at least a trilogy. So maybe you're right, Micah. Maybe it's not that J.K. Rowling may write, you know, five movies or six movies, but they're just leaving the possibility open to split that last one. Because that's kind of what they're doing with the Avengers. Marvel announced that that Avengers Infinity War is going to be Avengers Part 1. Sorry, Avengers
Which
Infinity
is just
War Part
bizarre,
1.
Bizarre, isn't it? Because it's it not is. Like it's an adaptation. Yeah, it's a unique story.
Yeah. That's why I thought the Avengers were going to be the Avengers as we know them are going to end at Infinity War. But at least one person told me, I don't think so.
I think they're probably just trying to be like comic books too, which always are about like serialization and continuations and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're making movies, these huge, huge budget movies like comic books where you have to get the second issue to read the full story.
What's somewhat ironic about that, though, is that it's really Harry Potter that started this trend of spending the final...
Well, the Harry Potter to the studios proved that it could be done, I think, right? Mm. And there may have been one or two films before it.
In terms of major book-to-film adaptations that were, you know, significant in length beyond just a couple of films, like Potter, we've seen it now really with everything from... Hunger Games, and I'm sure there's plenty of others I'm missing here, but the Hobbit, right?
Twilight.
Hobbit,
Twilight.
To three, now, Twilight.
Now also Divergent coming up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Sure. So it's
that's the thing to do.
It's a cool thing to do. Make more money, rake in those dollars.
But you know, but, we as fans can't really complain as much as I.
No, of course not.
As much as I despise it, just like anyone else. I mean, obviously, for websites, it's a good thing. For the fans, it's a good thing. For the most part, I mean,
at least with Fantastic Beasts, we know that it's not being adapted. Like J.K. is writing the screenplay for each film, so it won't be like they're stretching any kind of content. Like these films are being written for the screen. It'll be really exciting to see how her voice directly translates to the movie.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
It makes me wonder, like, if this whole book splitting trend was a thing 10 years prior, maybe thanks to another film, would Goblet of Fire have been split into two? Definitely would Order of the Phoenix. Or
yeah,
is it
I wonder.
Our studio.
It's just the finales.
That's the thing, but when is that trend going to break? It seems inevitable.
It should have, though. It should have broken way before, because I think that you could have justified other books in the Potter series in particular being broken into two movies. I know we've discussed this on prior shows, but as early as Goblet of Fire, definitely not then Order of the Phoenix for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Order of the Phoenix. Yeah. Well, we don't need
so much was left out there.
I still love that film, though. It's weird.
Oh,
it's my least favorite because it was my favorite book.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, we're going to continue with today's show in just a moment. But first, it's time to remind everybody that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. And that is no joke. They have more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. And for listeners of MuggleCast, Audible is offering you a free book to give you a chance to try out their great service. Today, I am going to recommend a book-to-film adaptation. I'm sure you've heard of it. It is easily one of the best movies of the year. It is Gone Girl. Now, this is a book by Gillian Flynn. It is a fantastic book and a great movie. You know, it's in the case of Gone Girl, it's hard to say whether the book or the film was better. Both are so beloved. I highly recommend reading and watching the story because it really is just one of the best movies of the year. You can grab this one for absolutely free by visiting audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast. If that's not the type of book for you, maybe try The Fault in Our Stars, the book by John Green. Grab The Casual Vacancy by J.K. Rowling. Grab The Cuckoo's Calling or The Silkworm, also by J.K. Rowling / Robert Galbraith. You can get any of these books for free, audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast. Try listening to a book instead of reading it. You're really going to enjoy it, I think. You'll listen to it just like you do this podcast. audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast to get an audiobook for absolutely free. And we thank Audible for their support of the show.
Just going back to Fantastic Beasts for a second, you know, talking about a big year for that. How about, and you know, don't get shocked here that I'm bringing this up, J.K. Rowling's tweet, the anagram that basically set off the Twitter world trying to figure that thing out.
Yeah. That was such a big deal because, you know, it was, I think that arguably is one of the most exciting things that happened on Twitter, or not on Twitter, in the Harry Potter fandom this year, because everybody kind of knew it wasn't going to be some like gigantic reveal, and yet it was so exciting because we all remember the riddles on J.K. Rowling's old website.
Right.
So having her give us a new riddle was just huge, and it was just like so simple for her to do, and it seemed to come up like spontaneously when somebody asked her to do a riddle, and then the next morning she did it. Like, it was really cool.
It just,
it was,
you could
very
tell
in the spirit of her, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you could tell she was having a blast doing it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, this was, I think 2014 will go down as the year that J.K. Rowling, like
embraced Twitter.
Yes, yes. I mean, absolutely. That is probably one of the most exciting things this year. And yeah, speaking of that, I mean, I think one of the things that kicked off this whole Twitter extravaganza for J.K. Rowling was when she spoke about the 16th anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts back in May. This was like one of her first tweets, and it was first tweets that wasn't like pen and paper are my priority at the moment. And then after that, she started answering a couple other questions, but you had to go and like look at her tweets. They weren't showing up in your feed because she was directly replying to people. And then, but then she learned, you know, that trick where you put a period in front of the username.
She's been doing that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Which is
her assistant told her.
So funny.
Yeah.
So I think in May was when that really all started, and now it's a whole big thing.
And it's very refreshing too to see the way she's interacting with people, because she slams people down, and she's like really personal, like both in good and bad. When people like try to make a complaint to her, she like slams them right back, and it's really cool.
She slams them down, but she's really classy about
it.
Like, she's
yeah.
never mean about it or anything. It doesn't even come off mean-spirited. She always
has the upper hand.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, there was that whole big J.K. Rowling's comments about Ron and Hermione that got twisted by the Sunday Times. You know, I can't remember what their headline was, but it started a whole brouhaha. That was I would say the low point of 2014 in terms of Harry Potter fans, because everybody was so shocked by that, and
everyone was so upset, because even the people that wanted Harry and Hermione to get together at the time, I mean, we've all moved on, we've all grown up to some extent, you know, we've all sort of made our peace with it, and suddenly it appeared that everything we thought we knew was wrong, and it was like, ah.
Right.
And I probably made a bigger deal out of it than I should have.
yeah, I mean, eventually
it was funny.
Eventually we learned that her comments were misconstrued. Yeah. But I mean, she was still reconsidering Ron and Hermione. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, well, like, they released, what was it? The Wonderland released like a promo before releasing the actual article. And it was like going to be like a month or something ridiculous before the actual like words came out.
That's the thing. I mean, Wonderland was kind of to blame too, because they released this interview in advance to the Sunday Times.
And but like it was, the Sunday Times did their like preview or whatever. And they had misconstrued the word, like shoddy journalism. And then it was a long time before we could realize that J.K. Rowling didn't
know, funnily enough, it was only 6 days. I was just looking at this.
Oh, wow. It felt like 30 days.
It truly felt like 30 days. Truly.
But you know what's funny about it is that we don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but what's funny, like seeing her act, actual comments that she was reconsidering Ron and Hermione's, I think you can really tell that from the final couple of books, because Harry and Hermione were so close friends, and as she said herself, like just after the 7th book came out, there were a few moments when it could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
And I like it, because it's realistic. It's not like she made this choice like Ron and Hermione and she was gonna like you know, them together cost everything. Yeah, exactly. Like she let the characters go where the characters wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
And it was a step up back from, or a step forward, you know, because the only comment that I can recall her previously talking about that pairing was the delusional, the delusional in the Melissa Nelly Emerson Sparks interview back when, I guess, book six came out. So that that was a big blow to Ron and Harry and Hermione shippers everywhere. But this kind of reopened a lot of those same feelings and I think took it into a more, you know, mature realm.
Mm-hmm. So she retracted the delusional comment because no, I know she didn't. But she can't really call those people delusional if in her own mind this was
right.
a possibility.
She's delusional. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And now she's never coming on the show. But shoddy journalism seems to be a running trend, though, at least as it relates to the series.
That's true.
So many years later, no matter what it is, whether it's about Pottermore, which I know we'll talk about very shortly here, or even with something along these lines, it's great that even however many years we are after the fact, over 7 years after Deathly Hallows was released, that the series is still relevant, the author is still relevant, the characters are still relevant enough that these news outlets, and I say that, you know, somewhat liberally, referring to them as news outlets because most of them aren't. Even though, actually, I will say I saw quite a few run with the 12 new stories by J.K. Rowling.
Everybody. And
just that they're interested and that they're willing to still write about it all these years later.
Well, and I just can't believe that people fall for this every time. I mean, this has happened so many times this year. I mean, if you want to, you know, summarize 2014 in the Harry Potter fandom, it was misleading headlines about things that J.K. Rowling is doing or saying, and you know, this Fantastic Beasts news. Plus, maybe part of the reason J.K. Rowling's been on Twitter more is so she can have like a direct line of communication with her fans instead of having the media reconstruct her words into things that just aren't true or entirely
six
accurate.
Or 7 days to release them,
right? So, you know, there was one other big story, and that relates to Fantastic Beasts. Let's do that first, since we're talking about big stories. Warner Brothers announced in October, about a week after we had recorded our last episode, naturally, that David Yates is going to direct Fantastic Beasts. This is when we also found out that the series is going to be at least a trilogy. So this is the first time we're talking about these two things here on MuggleCast. The at least a trilogy comments... We had known that David Yates was rumored to direct Fantastic Beasts. There was a report that had come out a month or two prior, and apparently that had been in the works for months. So now, one question that still lingers is, will David Yates be returning for all three movies? And if you read the Warner Brothers statement, it doesn't sound like it. However, if you went on J.K. Rowling's page when she shared the announcement, the wording of it very strongly sounded like he is going to direct all three. And I actually tried to get some clarification from from Warner Brothers about this, and they were not willing to give me any information.
Oh, okay.
They left it open-ended, let's say. But here's what J.K. Rowling said on Facebook. And this statement is loosely like what was released in the press release, but there's a key difference. I'm going to take one line from it. This is from J.K. Rowling. The studio has also confirmed that the films set in the Wizarding World but predating Harry Potter himself, will be directed by David Yates and will reunite the filmmaking team of Heyman, Rowling, Cloves, and Wigram.
Right.
There you go.
So, but this is not what it says in the other release. So that's why I think he is back for all three. Or he's maybe not officially, but that's the plan right now. Unless he's like, you know,
Right. Get me out of here.
You know what? You know what I'm thinking about this is that because we've all got like our own opinions on David Yates and stuff. But remember, like, remember The Hobbit? Like, you haven't just seen it.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, like that was meant to be directed by Guillermo del Toro, who incidentally was also meant to direct Harry Potter at one point, or in rumors or something. But and when that was first released, I remember lots of people were like, no, let's get Peter Jackson back, you know, let's get the original feel of the Lord of the Rings. And then now we've seen the movies, and I'm thinking that a lot of people are probably wishing that Del Toro would have stepped in and shaken up the universe a bit, because treading water can only get you so far. And that's what I'm worried about with this. It's not that I don't like David Yates' directing styles, that I don't. I mean, Fantastic Beasts is never going to be Harry Potter. And trying to make it seem like the same, I think you lose a lot of potential. I'm not. I mean, he might do a fantastic job, but I, no pun intended. But wow, so many headlines. Anyway, I don't know. I was hoping for someone different.
I get why he should return for the first movie, because they want to carry that feel. You know, David Yates is obviously very connected with the group already. You know, with the producer David Heyman, obviously. They all worked on Leaves and Studios, where they're going to be working again for Fantastic Beasts. But I don't understand the reason to bring them back for all three. Because why do you need that?
I actually, when Selena brought up The Hobbit, what I thought she was going to say is, what happens if this is all shot at the same time?
Oh.
And yeah. So he really only has to be there for the filming of what would be one movie, even though they're shooting it all at one time. But
I think that's going to happen for this.
Okay.
Because it's three.
Anyway.
You should be three separate stories, years apart.
I just mean the difference with The Hobbit was that it was originally two, and then when they announced a third, they went back and filmed more.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think all the points you raised are valid, and they're reasons why they would bring David Yates back. The familiarity that he has with the series, even though it isn't Potter, it's still within that same world. He's familiar with J.K. Rowling, Steve Clovis, the list
works
goes
well.
On.
Team.
Yeah, and at some point I would assume, and there are going to be brand new characters, but we would potentially see characters that we know that could make these cameo appearances as we get later on into Newt's story. But I don't know. It's almost like, let's see how he does with this first film.
Yeah.
And then make the judgment if it was right or wrong to bring him back.
Yeah, for sure.
He's worked, since Order of the Phoenix?
Yeah.
On the series. And, you know, I think it's about that. And you don't know. Maybe part of J.K. Rowling's agreement in doing this was that certain people come back, that she's entrusted with her work, you know, like Heyman and Clovis and now David Yates. Because clearly she's built these long-lasting relationships. She entrusted Heyman very early on with the series, and he's been there the whole time. And so you never know kind of what goes on behind the scenes. She ultimately has to feel comfortable with the person responsible for directing this. And, you know, Yates has been there pretty much since
day one.
Yeah, I mean –
yeah, I mean, they optioned
minus four
the film.
Films, yes, but
yeah, they optioned the film like really early on in the book process.
When was Order of the Phoenix released? 2005?
2007.
Mm. 2007?
Wait, the book or movie?
The movie.
7/12/7.
So he's been there four or five years. So I mean,
yeah,
he's got a good sense for what this is all about. So we'll see.
Yeah, I still stand with. I mean, I agree with what Selena said, too. You kind of want it to be completely different.
Yeah. You just want to change, I guess. But you're absolutely right as well, Mike. I think that we can. I mean, this is a different story, and David Yates, I'm sure, is capable of breathing new life into it.
I think I'm just – take on Tarzan, you know, first to kind of
okay.
It's like that. Well, that's another story. It's like, well, you want to see him do something different to prove that he can do something.
I agree with Selena too, though. I like the point that she made, and I think that having somebody new would be great, because, you know, one of the problems that a lot of people had with the Potter films was that there wasn't that continuity, right?
What?
It broke so many times. Well, no. I mean, yes, there were people who liked the fact that there were different directors along the way, but, you know, going through four different directors in an 8-film span, a lot of people didn't like that because – there wasn't a level of consistency throughout all the films. Whereas here, you know, why bring in somebody who's worked on those films? Why not give somebody else a chance? I think there's a lot of validity to that as well.
And just from a visual sense, I mean, there could be a great opportunity here to really shake this series up in a visual, in a visual way. And with David Yates, I don't think that's going to happen, because I think a lot of what we found in the Harry Potter films will be carrying over what we saw in the Harry Potter films. Who knows? Still excited for it, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess.
We're going to see it no matter who directs it anyway. So
oh, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's just topic of conversation.
But Micah will not follow David Yates on Twitter. I know that much.
If David Yates was on Twitter, I'd follow him.
Really?
Why?
Yeah, I don't Why get not? That.
He gets a free pass and J.K. Rowling doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, it depends if he actually used his Twitter account.
But J.K. Rowling uses her Twitter account.
Yeah, after the fact.
After you unfollowed her for not using her Twitter account?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I think we'll have Micah convinced. So, in a little bit. So, let's talk about Pottermore now. They released Half-Blood Prince. It's Yay. Out. Hooray.
All so of this, it?
All of it. This was the 12 days thing they released. Really, over the 12 days, they released the best of Half-Blood Prince. And then a couple days ago, they released the remainder. And I looked through it. There wasn't really anything else other than, you know, what we received during these 12 days things that was interesting. You know, not there wasn't any other additional tidbits penned by J.K. Rowling herself. But we learned a few things. These were actually pretty interesting, I thought. Snape, she addressed the whole is Snape a vampire thing. She said no. But at one point in her very, very early notes, she had a vampire wizard named Trocar, who T-R-O-C-A-R, who was going to be a professor at Hogwarts, but she doesn't know how. It was just a very early
Isn't it
note.
Amazing how drafts change?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like
it's, wow.
And it's a perfect name. It's right up there with like Remus Lupin. She describes in the doc, she describes a trocar as a sharply pointed shaft inserted into arteries or cavities to extract bodily fluids. So it's totally a perfect name for a vampire character.
Still on the nose.
We also found out why J.K. Rowling explained why Snape was the Hogwarts potions professor. Some people said this wasn't new, but, you know, on Pottermore, it was new writing from J.K. Rowling. She said, chemistry was my least favorite subject at school, and I gave it up as soon as I could. Naturally, when I was trying to decide which subject Harry's arch enemy, Severus Snape, should teach, it had to be the wizarding equivalent. So that wasn't, I guess, big news, but I don't know.
That's funny. That made me laugh. I'm happy to know that.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is she revealed a ghost plot in Half-Blood Prince, meaning kind of like something she had planned and then changed her mind on. She said that Florian Fortescue, whose ice cream you can purchase in the Wizarding World Diagon Alley, was almost a major player.
Get the butterbeer.
Yeah, the butterbeer ice cream. That's a good one.
Get the butterbeer.
He was almost a major player in Deathly Hallows. And
I knew it.
Did you
really?
I was,
when I read this, I was really? Yes, because, well, no, I didn't know that, but but you know, it was one of those things that I remember people talking about after the seventh book came out, like, oh, there were all these clues to Florian Fortescue and it never came to anything. So it was cool to hear that she thought about it.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, so yeah, she was going to have Florian present Harry some information about the Hallows in Deathly Hallows.
Some Hallows.
Yeah. Here they are.
Yeah.
Crime
well,
solved.
Like, Ollivander is like such an important, you know, role in that book. And then his next door neighbor, Florian, would have also been this huge important guy.
Yeah.
So I understand like if that was had anything to do with why she didn't do it, because she had already done it or chosen to do it with Ollivander. Yeah.
And so this Deathly Hallows information was why Harry met Florian in Prisoner of Azkaban. But then she changed her mind when because Phineas Black was a much more satisfactory means of conveying clues, she said.
Right.
Yeah.
Micah?
And there's only so many people you can have walk in and give you information and then leave.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, oh, hey, you helped me with my homework in year three that week I spent in Diagon Alley. What can you bring to the table now? You know, he's still going to be, though, this really nice guy who helped Harry with his homework and gave him free ice cream. Like, he's probably still one of my favorite characters, even though he never played that big a role.
Wow.
And
how much do you hate the other characters?
Well, there is Eric, the security wizard. I also like him a lot.
And the icing on the cake with this was that she said she feels guilty about killing him because she never used the knowledge she gave him to benefit Harry. So it was interesting, like, what character does she feel guilty or, you know, regrets, even that word's taboo now in the fandom, but, you know, regrets killing. It seems like this is the one, the only one.
I think that what did I tweet you a picture of Snorlax when?
Oh, you thought this was boring?
No, yeah,
that's what I read it as.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's all boring. I don't think that it blows you away. Like, I don't think that there's any information that got released in these 12 days leading up to Christmas that was that shocking. And I understand.
Yeah, no one was gay or anything.
They didn't I don't know. Like, there was a part that talked about, like, cauldrons and their purpose. It's, you know, like, really? Like, does anybody honestly want to read that?
I do.
Well, you do, of course.
You know what that's from.
What does that mean, of course? What does that mean?
It just means that you'd want to read it.
You consume everything Harry Potter.
Yes, exactly. Even though you don't go to Pottermore.
Well, I did go to Pottermore, actually. I remembered my password, which had been kicking me out, and then I got
in. You could reset it, you know.
Eric, would you read a section on the toilet paper that is used at Hogwarts?
Probably, because any article that talks about toilet paper is going to talk about the bathroom problem of Harry Potter, which is that none of the characters go to the bathroom unless there's, like, an action scene in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a little interested, honestly, in where the Hogwarts students, you know, do their business. But
one of the most common complaints I've received in the Harry Potter novels is that they don't go to the bathroom too much.
It's a standard story writing.
You should tweet her, actually. I'm sure
nobody wants to read. Nobody wants to read about
Eric, please, right now, tweet her.
Hermione did go to the bathroom at some point in one of the early novels.
No, she said it's difficult to go to the bathroom. She said it's difficult with Moaning Myrtle there in the bathroom.
Eric, please tweet her that.
So they only go to the bathroom. You're not going to tweet her that?
I won't tweet her that for Micah's enjoyment if he doesn't follow her on Twitter. I'm not going to do it. He won't see her response unless I retweet it, and I'm not going to
see it. I retweeted her, last week?
Yeah, the Anthony Goldstein tweet.
She was so excited.
Somehow you still saw that, even though you don't follow her.
Somehow, some way. But one thing I did think was actually interesting was she talked about the Inferi as well. Mm-hmm. She gave a little bit of background on them in that chapter on Pottermore, but I don't know. Like, I think at this point, I'm just over Pottermore. I think it's a great resource for people who, you know, are still looking for information on the series, who want to go through it again, for people maybe who haven't read it before, and this kind of provides them a companion. But these bits of information, they don't hit home. Like, I think we're looking for some really big news about characters or additional plot lines that just, you know, they're not there.
I disagree. I mean, I think that, clearly anything major enough made it into the books. But I'm interested in, like, these ghost plots that are coming to light. And I'm interested in knowing that specifically where that Railview Inn was that they stayed in the first book happened to be in Lily's, you know, hometown, Lily and Petunia's hometown of Cokeworth. Whatever, just random stuff. And, I mean, as Deathly Hallows comes around, we're going to find a lot of what I'm looking for, which is what could have been, or a lot of what didn't make it. Because I don't even I don't love, it's no secret, I don't love the seventh Harry Potter book, so I really want to know. I mean, this is the opportune time to get any kind of what could have been, what should have been, what almost was type stuff into the mix. So I'm actually more excited.
Well, it's also the last chance really for that, right?
Because you
think
for anything
that she's,
in general,
she's put the most important bits into the books that have already been released on Pottermore. At least you'd hope that that's what she's done, even though we know that she has a ton of information, you know, stored away in boxes and in her mind somewhere that she can release at any point. But
encyclopedia.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
What I want. I don't want, like, I don't want Pottermore info. I want encyclopedia info. Well, I'm like,
okay, so Micah mentioned, why is there cauldron stuff? And this goes kind of relates. I think that this is probably a sample from the encyclopedia. Here is my theory. Everybody listen, because if
Andrew's
it's now,
grand theory okay. about grand the theory, J.K. Rowling encyclopedia.
This is now or never. This is it. So, okay. Half-Blood Prince just published here at the end of the year on Pottermore, okay? that leaves an entire year wide open for them to finish up Pottermore in 2015. They're going to publish Deathly Hallows, obviously. Maybe they'll, I don't know, go back and release some other things. J.K. Rowling promised at one point on Twitter, like a month ago, that there's going to be a Patronus quiz. So, you know, stuff like that. Maybe they're going to get that out of the way. And then, now that Pottermore's finished, I've been saying this for years, they are going to open up. That is when we're going to get the encyclopedia, once Pottermore has finished releasing all 7 Harry Potter books. Now, if they finish Pottermore in 2015, that means the encyclopedia can come out in 2016. What else is in 2016? First Fantastic Beasts movie. They release Encyclopedia around summertime, summer 2016. All the Harry Potter fans lose themselves, you know, in excitement. Micah refollows J.K. Rowling on Twitter. You know, Eric gets to learn about Hogwarts toilet paper.
Yes.
You know, the fans are lining up at midnight again. And then everybody's reinvigorated, and they're excited for Fantastic Beasts a couple months later. So I think the Encyclopedia is coming out in 2016. Pottermore would be finished. We remember going back years ago when J.K. Rowling said on her Q&A, Micah found, I think, I don't know who found it, that little
tip. I think it was me.
It was you. Micah's
I'll take credit.
He may not follow her on Twitter, but he does, you know.
Yeah, there was something on her website, yeah.
That said that she is working on the encyclopedia. And then, you know, people noticed and we started writing about it, and then that got deleted. And then that same area said, I am thrilled to be part of Pottermore. I have no plans for the encyclopedia. Right after she said, I am at work on this now. Yeah. I think Pottermore got pissed because, you know, they need the attention. Right.
Yeah.
So, right. And that's the thing. Nobody's going to give two flying pieces of you know what about Pottermore once the encyclopedia is out. No one's going to care.
Mm-mm.
So I think
they have an opportunity as new media, like multimodal presentation that is Pottermore to like give us this information now over the next couple of years. Like I think you're right though, Andrew. I think the encyclopedia was just delayed. Like they've entered into this agreement so that they can present this information in this really cool, unique way.
Unless they're just going to release Pottermore the book. In which case,
right?
<you know.
laughs> Right. Well, I'm working on a Hypeable for an article, 10 headlines we're dreading reading in 2015, and one of them is J.K. Okay. Rowling announces Harry Potter, and then it's like Harry Potter the Encyclopedia ... but it's only on Pottermore. That's what I'm afraid of. It's going to be some digital only release, but I don't think they actually will do that.
No.
So there we go. I mean, that's you know, we'll talk more about 2015 in a moment, but finally, we've talked about J.K. Rowling on Twitter a lot today, so maybe we don't want to get into this more. But
I actually found the quote. Sorry, I was looking it up. But
go ahead.
Let's see here. It started off, somebody, I guess, asked her, will there ever be a printed encyclopedia? And this is what she said in June of – hold on – I'm assuming it was last year, or it could have even been 2013.
Was this on Twitter? What do you
mean? Last year was 2013.
That's a good point. Almost. Almost. will there ever be a book? I don't know at the moment. The world has kind of outstripped me in the sense that back in 1998, I generated a lot more material than would ever be put in the books. It was simply ridiculous that anyone, to me at the time, I thought, who would ever want to know the significance of these types of wandwoods? will there ever be an encyclopedia? And she said, possibly. And now we flash forward. And this was what I think was on her website when it relaunched. For a long time, I've been promising an encyclopedia of Harry's world, and I have started work on this. Some of it forms the new content on Pottermore. It is likely to be a time-consuming project or job.
See, there it is, that some of this will become Pottermore.
But when finished, I shall donate all royalties to charity. So, and then, of course, that you know, that changed. So the difference – I'm just reading one of our transcripts. This was episode 252. So the difference between June and this past week is that she went from possibly there's going to be an encyclopedia to I am working on this now. And then, of course, as Andrew mentioned, that disappeared from the website.
Well, so – and that was back in 2012, I believe, that happened, right?
Must have been.
So
250.
So, you know, she said it's going to be a time-consuming project. If that were to come out in 2016, that's 4 years.
It was April 23rd, 2012.
I remember I was in Disney World, and I pulled out my laptop. I was like, Micah, how the heck?
It was just – we found it, and it was probably something that, as you said, Pottermore just didn't want out there. J.K. Rowling felt comfortable enough to publish it on her site, and then – you know, I think because in essence it takes away from Pottermore. If you know, it
absolutely does.
To your point, Andrew, let's say we know Deathly Hallows will be released next year. And Pottermore will wrap up. We don't know what purpose it's going to serve beyond all the books being released. And so, you know, if she has said publicly that she's working on an encyclopedia in addition to Pottermore, and that some of the content that she's working on does in fact, part of the content is going into Pottermore, but she still has more that she's using for this encyclopedia, then we should anticipate that one is actually going to be released at some point in the future.
Now, turning to J.K. Rowling on Twitter one more time today, we talk about it a lot, but that's where all the excitement is with J.K. Rowling these days. It's pretty cool. I teased earlier that there was a tweet that if this doesn't make Micah refollow J.K. Rowling, I don't know what will. So somebody tweeted her, "My wife said there are no Jews at Hogwarts. I'm a Jew, so I assume she said it to be the only magical one in the family. Thoughts?" She replied, "Anthony Goldstein, Ravenclaw, Jewish wizard." That's it. Now, this, it turns out, was one of the original 40 Harry Potter characters that she came up with in Harry's class. Some people are like, oh, of course she picks Goldstein for the one Jewish person at Hogwarts. But remember, you know, this was back in like the 90s when, you know, it wasn't some huge thing. And she said that that was one of the names of her friends, right? When she was slamming somebody on Twitter. Yeah.
Yes.
So, when she was slamming
one of her slams.
And then she said, okay, let me clarify that the next day, because, you know, of course, there people are like, oh my gosh, there's just one Jewish person. this must make her want to leave Twitter when she has
one special Jewish boy that
people
goes to Hogwarts.
So
yeah. She said, okay, let me clarify that. Anthony isn't the first Jewish student, nor is he the only one. I just have reasons for knowing most about him. That's because he was
that makes
one
sense.
Of the
original. He was one of the OGs.
So, Micah, does this not make you want to refollow her?
I think she's really been active. That's clear over the last couple of months on Twitter. And I think that, you know, as she continues to be more active and do more things, I mentioned the anagram earlier, and, you know, certainly once I heard about that, I went to check it out. But I think at some point, I'll follow her again.
Okay.
I think it's possible.
I have another proposal.
2015 is a new year.
Okay. Yeah, I have another proposal we'll get to with our big announcement.
Okay.
That's our big announcement. Mike is following.
Well, I got to get her to reply. I think between the four of us here, we could come up with some questions that we could get her to reply to.
That's it.
Yeah,
you
come
want
to
special
Brazil.
Service. You want exactly for her to answer your question the way she's answering all of these other people's questions, like Ingrid Fonseca, who said, if you have a Horcrux, what would it be? # Brazil. There's Brazil again, by the way.
Right.
And Brazil is its own trend, it seems like.
J.K. Rowling said, I would never have a Horcrux. They are evil objects created by murder. She's answering fans'
That's
questions.
That's a cop-out.
Like she's,
total cop-out.
She's back. No, it's not. It's not. That's why she told us early on we'd never learn the process that it was involved, because somebody's stupid enough in the world to go out and do it. And be like, hey, I have a Horcrux now.
I killed this person. What now?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well,
JKR.
Hold on a second. I don't think they need to learn the process in order to unfortunately do something like that and claim an item they're holding in their hand as a Horcrux. I think there are people out there that are stupid enough to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But no, she was asked also – she's just answering fan questions, which is beautiful.
I think it's great. When she first came on Twitter, it seemed as if it was done purely for publicity and to just be on Twitter. Because everybody else was on Twitter. People were impersonating her, I'm sure.
Well, that's what it is, yeah. And she needed to create one just so that other people didn't.
But I think it's fair to say, though, that if you're going to be on Twitter, and you should embrace it. You should be active with it, and that's the whole point of it. And that's why people follow you. You know, they don't follow you so your account sits idle for a couple of months, or you only tweet like sparingly and you retweet the same thing over and over again.
So the entire foundation of why you stopped following her is gone now. Because she's so active.
She finally listened to me, and she
so now active. you want to stretch it further until she answers one of your specifically your questions. You won't follow her back.
I think Eric's grown like actually angry that Mike doesn't follow her.
I find it to be pretty funny. I mean, she tweeted, this is 11 days ago, 7 minutes to midnight, time for bed. This is after this whole question answer session she asked about what her favorite quote is and all this other stuff. She says, time for bed. You people never run out of great questions. Sleep well / have a great day. This is J.K. Rowling, the author of these books, who's got so many projects up in the air. She's taken the time to answer these really cool questions for fans.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think it is? I think at some point earlier this year, she realized how easy it is to use. It may not have been her at the very beginning. And then at some point, you know, she downloaded the app on her phone, and then she can, you know, she can sit there. You know, Eric just referenced that
Candy Crush,
time for bed
she was like,
tweet.
What am I going to do?
Right. Yeah. So she, you know, she's in bed, you know, her luxurious California king bed, and like, you know, she's got a nice glass of wine next to her table, and she's, you know, she's like, let me see what's doing on Twitter, and it's just so easy, and obviously it's a lot of fun for her as well to interact with the fans. You know, like Pottermore. Pottermore should be embracing this and like have a tweets by J.K. Rowling section, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
no, you're right.
Let's.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it's great. I think it's awesome that she's actively tweeting and she's responding to fans, and you know, clearly people are interested still in all these different things, and the fact that she's willing and able to reply is awesome.
So let's move on now to what 2015 has in store for Harry Potter fans. You know, I just shared my encyclopedia theory.
J.K. Rowling on Snapchat.
That's the next thing.
Sending random snaps to fans.
Here's the pen I'm using to write right now. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. If there's one thing we know, there's three things we know for sure. Pottermore is going to be completed in 2015, certainly through Deathly Hallows. That's definite.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic Beasts casting news. They are going to start filming Fantastic Beasts in 2015, which is crazy to think that this is actually happening in 2015. That means we're going to learn who's playing Newt. And the more exciting part, in my opinion, I think is we're finally going to learn more about this story, because we're going to hear about these people getting cast, and it's going to be our introduction into Fantastic Beasts. We have no clue what other characters are appearing at this point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are probably going to be new. You know, best friend of Newt, you know, the bird that sits on his shoulder, you know, the little dragon that sits on his shoulder. Like, we're going to be learning a lot about Fantastic Beasts in 2015. And that's cool, right?
Yeah.
It is.
That's very cool. Is.
But who knows how much Warner Brothers is going to release. I mean, the casting stuff may be our best bet at learning more in 2015. Because remember, it's November 2016.
Yeah, character names. And it's going to be like Star Wars. Like, we're going to learn character names and character costume designs and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then will come the fan posters with, like, using the actor's likeness and stuff.
Yeah. See, and the teaser trailer, which, like, a Nimbus, like, flying across the screen. Newt in the desert. It's going to be great.
The teaser trailer should just be that riddle that J.K. Rowling posted on Twitter. Just that line.
Newt Scamander only meant to stay in New York for a couple hours, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will probably find out more about, well, this isn't so certain, something about the Wizarding World theme parks. I mean, Japan opened this year. Mm. Hollywood is opening in 2016.
2016, okay.
England, please.
England.
Yeah, well,
they have a studio tour. England. Come on.
And that's just as good.
I was thinking more we would find out something about a third expansion to the Wizarding World in Orlando, because that's obviously that one's obviously the brand.
You have enough.
What would be next, though? I mean, if you're talking expansion to the Wizarding World, I'm sure you've written an article on this, Andrew. But what would be next? I mean,
how about a bigger Hogwarts?
Yeah, one you can stay in.
How about a great hall to eat in? Oh, I know. People want like a Hogwarts hotel. Hotel Hogwarts.
And there or somebody could be... mentioned the ministry, right?
Oh, yeah. That would be a big one.
Yeah, but I'd go for Hotel Hogwarts.
Yeah, Hogwarts for sure. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
And you could like choose to like – there would be like wings for Hufflepuff and Gryffindor and stuff.
And different classes you could attend, you could sit in on. I think that's what we all wanted all along.
Yeah, like, yeah, roller coasters are Hogwarts fine. Where we can
they should do it in England, fine. Though, right?
So they Scotland. Should, for sure, Scotland. Scotland, yeah, that would be okay. Yeah.
And each wing would be a different Hogwarts house.
Yep. Yeah.
And Dumbledore's office would be the secret J.K. Rowling suite, like the penthouse.
Oh, yeah.
When J.K.R. comes, she gets to stay in Dumbledore's office.
And the Chamber of Secrets is like a giant swimming pool or something.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
We should design it.
This isn't strictly Harry Potter related, but it is J.K. Rowling related. The Casual Vacancy television series will be premiering on the BBC in early 2015. Yeah. And I'll finally know what happens in that story now.
<It's> Yeah, me exciting. Too. Me too.
Not that exciting.
Presuming they don't change the ending.
Right, right.
For TV.
It, that was a tough book to get through.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I didn't finish.
Me neither.
Eric and I did not finish. And we'll also be hearing more about the Cormorant Strike television series. This is something we haven't touched on yet. The BBC announced, and J.K. Rowling announced, that they are turning the Cormorant Strike novels, so that's The Cuckoo's Calling and The Silkworm, into a drama for BBC One, which I think is really cool. There were talks, there were rumors when The Cuckoo's Calling first was unveiled as being J.K. Rowling's, that there were studios trying to get it, movie studios. But I think it's better as a television series because now we know J.K. Rowling said this year there's going to be like 6 or 7 more of these Cormorant Strike books.
Yeah.
So this could be a long-running series on BBC One. And I'm really excited about that because I love these
books. Do we get that in the U.S.?
BBC One, no. Well, I mean, we get BBC America.
Oh, right.
The Casual Vacancy is going to be on HBO. We don't know when, but it's going to be. So hopefully Cormorant Strike is going to maybe be on HBO as well.
That'd be cool.
But, you know, it's the internet. We'll have ways of watching it.
And then book-wise, though, did she say she's starting to write the fourth one? I thought I read that somewhere.
Third.
I thought the third was already almost finished.
She said she was halfway through writing the third one. But yeah, presumably she'll be writing the fourth one in 2015, I guess. Yeah.
So we can expect probably a release for 2015 for the third book.
Yeah,
I'm hoping Jesus so. Christ. I'm only like 3 chapters into the first one.
Get reading.
I know. It's so much. And like she writes all this stuff and I'm having trouble just reading it.
And this gets into
bad fan.
Our announcement for 2015. You know, we've done a few episodes. We, of course, MuggleCast was always a weekly show when we started in 2005. And then after the final movie came out, we pulled it back to monthly, and then we stopped doing regular episodes because, you know, it was just time. There was no spin-off series. J.K. Rowling was barely on Twitter. Micah was barely on Twitter at that time. yeah. You know, it was a different time.
That's why we really ended it. Micah had no interest in Twitter.
And
that's
I just right. mean, after doing it for so long, it MuggleCast had run its course for what we... You know, it served its purpose. And now that, believe it or not, this was a factor, in my opinion, now that J.K. Rowling is on Twitter more, now that Fantastic Beasts is under 2 years away, we have decided, drum roll please, that we are going to
end it.
We are going to end it entirely. No. That we are going to do monthly episodes.
Bing.
Beginning again in
bang.
March.
Boom.
Bing, bang.
Happy boom. New Year.
I mean, I'm not even sure we told you this yet, did I? So, surprise. So, we, you know, Harry Potter is still beloved by everybody. Everybody still loves Harry Potter. I mean, everybody I meet in where I live now, Harry Potter comes up at some point, and I'm like, did you know MuggleNet? And they always say yes. And everybody is still obsessed with what J.K. Rowling says on Twitter. These are normal people, not even the people who listen to MuggleCast, not even those crazies. they, you know, everybody's just so excited about Fantastic Beasts, about what J.K. Rowling is saying on Twitter, this new Pottermore stuff, believe it or not, Micah. That
what?
We just,
whoa.
we just feel like it's time. So beginning in March, we will resume monthly episodes. That's a new episode of MuggleCast every month.
For a nominal fee.
For $3.99 a month. No, it's going to be free. And we're all really excited, I think, to start it back up again.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know we've been dropping clues, speaking of Twitter. we've dropped a few. I tried out my my Photoshop skills on the most recent one.
They caused people to unfollow us on Twitter. They were
did
bad.
It? Okay.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
You have what, like a ridiculous following on that account now. So a few here or there don't hurt it.
I'm just kidding. I mean, it's interesting, actually. When we ended monthly episodes of MuggleCast, the Facebook page had like 35,000 likes. Now we're up to 77,000 likes, which is just
crazy.
We've upped
our value by doing less.
More than doubled it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's part of the reason, well, a large part of the reason, is that I post Harry Potter stories from Hypeable on there, and I think people see this page, and they're like, oh, wow, there's still Harry Potter news, cool, I'll like it. You know, so it's grown that way. But it just also shows you that there's still a demand for Harry Potter content. People are still as passionate as ever about it.
And so, we would not so have exciting. Anyone else do a Harry Potter podcast. Why not just have it be us?
Right. I mean, you know, I hate to brag about this, but we were the first Harry Potter podcast. So we were. So
we were. No, definitely we were.
It feels right that we're going to lead the charge on a resurgence here. Maybe in the fandom. We'll see. We're going to be all about it.
Get to celebrate 10 years.
Right.
Whoa, next August.
That's awesome.
Yes, that's appropriate. That's very appropriate. Now, the reason we're waiting till March is because Micah and I are actually going to be a part of a new podcast. If you guys were into...
Yeah, Andrew, why don't you tell them the name?
Well, we don't have a name yet, but if you are into Smart Mouths, you're going to like this new podcast because that will be starting up in January. So we'll mention that on future episodes of MuggleCast here. But yeah,
that's so exciting. Yes. It's so great. And podcasts as well. Like they sort of, they hit a bit of a lull after like the initial sort of excitement. But I'm so glad you guys are keep doing it and more
Thank
new
you,
podcasts.
Selena.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Well,
I'm super like surprised because I had no idea.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I didn't tell you. It didn't even dawn on me. Sorry about that. But yeah, so, and we'll have, you know, Selena coming on, I'm sure. And I think one of the goals will be to have a fourth, it'll be Eric, Micah, and I, and then we'll have a fourth person on at least every episode. I think that's going to be a goal. We'll try to freshen things up in ways like that.
Yeah. Of course. And I'm looking forward to continuing to talk about Pottermore and Twitter.
Twitter,
all the things you,
all the Harry Potter
no,
stuff.
No, look, I think, you know, it's always good to have the to play devil's advocate because there are people out there, I'm sure, who feel similarly about Pottermore. Maybe not so as much about Twitter, at least now. But Pottermore in particular, I think, just it is what it is. We've discussed it so many times on this show, and I think for different people, it serves different purposes. But the fact that we just have it. Is a great thing because it provides us new information and it will continue to into the new year.
Well, and the reason that we want to start up monthly episodes again is that Fantastic Beasts, like we mentioned, is going to really get rocking and rolling this year. And yeah. There's going to be a lot to talk about with that. And there's going to be other stuff in the Harry Potter fandom to talk about as well.
So if you had to take a guess now, I mean, looking ahead into 2015, we'll get a lot of casting news. You mentioned that. Who is going to play the role of Newt Scamander? If you had to put it on paper right now.
Benedict Cumberbatch, obviously.
Smaug.
Oh. Yeah. No, I don't think it's going to be a big person. I mean, like the safe predictions are like Matt Smith.
We don't even know how old he is, though. It could be literally anyone. It could be a woman.
I think in his 20s. Don't we know that? It's
early 20s.
I know
based on when he left Hogwarts, based on like the old biography, which could be changed a little bit.
Right. There's going to inevitably be some adjustments, but we know the story's set in 1920s. Yes. And according to the Harry Potter wiki, he was born in 1897. So that would put him around his 20s. So,
like he basically he leaves Hogwarts and become like he trains with the ministry for a couple years, I think, and then leaves on a big safari or quest or whatever.
So mid-20s.
Based on the old
20s.
Information. Yeah, mid-20s, okay. Kind of our age, which is really cool because Harry Potter was our age. You know,
and we know
up.
That it's like the beginning of his career?
Not specifically. I think he'll probably be pretty, like, esteemed. This is what I'm gathering from, like, the plot so far is, like, people will know him. And, like, he's going to New York, but then this huge crisis happens, which we do know. And then he'll, like, be called upon to fix it. So, like, there will be, like, I think he'll have a little degree of fame. Kind of like an Indiana Jones kind of guy.
Right.
And I want to touch on something that Selena mentioned. There really is a resurgence with podcasts happening right now. Led largely by Serial. That mystery podcast. I still haven't listened to it, but I want to. Everybody's obsessed with it. But I think people are starting to – that helped people realize how convenient podcasts are. Apple now puts the podcast app on your phone. I think that's very helpful to podcasters. I just think that there really is a resurgence happening. And
also, like, Welcome to Night Vale is also like a really cool – just really well done, really like concept show.
Yeah, and everybody's got their phones. You know, one of the reasons I never really, like, believed in YouTube is because it's not as portable as something like podcasts are. You can really take a podcast anywhere with you. No matter where you are, you can easily listen to it. Whereas YouTube, you can't watch it anywhere. Or everywhere. Mm-hmm. Obviously, YouTube is very, very, very popular, but we're podcasters here. So yeah, that's our big announcement again. It'll start up again in March.
Yay.
And hopefully the casting announcements will start after that. But who knows? And that's all we've got for today's episode of MuggleCast. By the way, so Mike, I know we keep bringing this up, but to kick off our resurgence, I believe in March you should refollow J.K. Rowling.
I don't know.
It's going to have to take something really big.
Hold on. You know what? It's the end of the year, right? We're heading into a brand new year. You make resolutions, right?
Okay. Where are you going with this?
I'm shifting away from my microphone here for a second so that I can type on the keyboard.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Uh-oh.
I need to get into the MuggleCast Twitter right now to report the breaking news after it's done.
All right. So I'm just making sure this is her handle, right? @JK_Rowling.
Right. That's right. Do it.
I want to know what follower I'm going to become. She's got 3.965,281. So I'll become the 3,965,282nd follower.
Don't pull our leg here. It's done.
It's done.
Wow.
Yay!
All that. I can't believe it. Well, this is truly
She followed back.
She's been waiting for that, Mike.
Yeah.
She was. I knew it.
This has truly been a remarkable landmark episode of MuggleCast. I'm glad you didn't wait till March, Micah.
This is going up on the Hall of Fame on the MuggleCast site just because Micah followed her.
Well, what a way to cap off the year. I'm adding that to our year in review. The biggest Potter stories of the year. Micah follows J.K. Rowling again. Cool. I don't think you'll regret that decision, Micah.
No.
It's not like I don't take a look at her her feed.
Right. Well, now you'll be forced
what's
to.
Going on. Mm-hmm. I will, yeah. No choice unless I hit on follow again for some reason.
You better not.
Is that a threat?
Watch yourself, Joe.
No.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, you can visit the MuggleCast website to download all the episodes. Maybe you want to re-listen to a few in preparation for the new era. We got every single episode of MuggleCast right there on the website. You can also follow us on social media. If you don't now, Now's definitely the time to do it. Twitter.com/MuggleCast, Facebook.com/MuggleCast. We also got the MuggleCast Tumblr, MuggleCast.tumblr.
Is Kevin making sure we're getting all the traffic there?
Yes, Kevin Steck, a Tumblr employee. Looks like the Tumblr needs some needs to be updated. I don't think it's being maintained anymore.
So we have to wake up those girls.
Yeah, yeah. We'll reach out to them. Yeah. They can. All right. And I think that's it. I'm Andrew Sims.
That's it.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
And I'm Selena Wilkin.
Selena, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And we'll see everybody next time for episode 276. Goodbye.
Goodbye, 2014.
Bye. See you in 15.